chapter number 4. Galatians chapter 4. And in just a moment, we will begin in verse number 4. Galatians chapter 4. And we will begin in verse number 4. Well, tonight has been a long time coming. And I am praying for this evening that it truly will honor and glorify the Lord. And I am praying that this evening will be a great symbol of our adoption with the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I want to speak to you on this subject, the miracle of adoption. Now I'm going to interject, if you would allow me tonight, the special adoption of Elijah into the home and family of Aaron and Candace. And I would like to parallel this with the adoption that God has done for you and me. I remember the process, and it's been a journey for Aaron and Candace, no doubt about it. I'll share a little bit of that with you tonight. But obviously, as their pastor, I've been able to sit with them quite often, to pray with them, to talk with them, to seek to encourage them. I do not know what it has been like for them. I don't. Some of you know what it has been like. It has been a disappointment for them, a burden for them, a weight. But then to see God answer prayer for them and to provide this little baby has been just really a miracle. In fact, you know, it has been, I think Brother Stevenson told me, I mean, little Elijah is just a little over a year old and he is now fully adopted. Folks, in our day and time, that truly is a miracle right there. It's a miracle. They were told that when they began this process, they began to foster, to adopt. And the people told them, number one, you will not get a baby. Number one, we just want you to know that. Number two, if you do get any child, it will have lots of issues and lots of problems. We just want you to know that going into it. And Aaron and Candace knew that. But they knew also God, who is able to do the impossible. And they were praying. They were praying that God would intervene on their behalf and that God would provide for them a baby. I'll never forget getting the call from Brother Stevenson that the institution had called them, that there was a baby for them. And now, it wasn't going to be definite. It was a baby that they were going to foster. I remember that when they went to go see the baby, they did not know the baby's name. In fact, the nurses and all that did not know the baby's name. Now, to back up a little bit, Miss Candace had been praying that God would give them a baby and that it would have a Bible name. That was her prayer. Now, when they went the first time to be able to see, what they did not know was little Elijah. They didn't know its name. And you know what? When they went and saw that little child and got to hold it, they fell in love with it right then and there. And they told us that they wept when they had to leave the baby in the hospital and go back home. Later on, when the nurse called Miss Candace and told her, oh, we know the name of the baby. Its name is Elijah. Well, she knew right then and there that God had heard their prayer and that God had answered that prayer. In fact, I believe if I'm right, if I'm wrong, then just blame me, all right? But I believe Miss Candace told me that that was a prayer that she had just between her and God, and that she had not even told Brother Stevenson, her husband, that she was praying that it would have a baby name. I believe God hears and answers specific prayers. And I'll never forget when they went and picked up little Elijah, and they got to take him out of the hospital, and they came by the church, and my wife and I, we got to hold him, and we prayed over him. I was slobbering then, you know? And so, but it means so much. We, in some ways, as a pastor, we kind of feel like Aaron and Candace are our own kids, you know? And we love them and care for them and pray for them, and as I do all of my staff. But this has been very special and very unique. So tonight, I want to preach to you on this subject, the miracle of adoption. A boy was born on Monday, July the 14th, 1913, in Omaha, Nebraska. His name was Leslie Lynch King, Jr. Now, you may not know it, but there's something very significant about this man. His parents separated 16 days after his birth and were divorced the following December. According to press reports, the father of this boy was very abusive and he was a drunkard. His mother took the baby and they moved back to their parents' home in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Later on, she found a man that she fell in love with. He was just a simple paint salesman. But later on, that young man adopted this boy, Leslie Lynch King Jr., and gave him his own name. And thus, Leslie Lynch King became Gerald Ford, the 38th President of the United States of America. What an amazing story. A young man who was brought up in difficult circumstances and yet adopted, and he was given a new name. You know, when we think of the adoption process tonight, I'm going to read you some legal things, if you would allow me to do that, as well as I'm going to read you the Word of God. But adoption is a legal act that formally establishes a parent-child relationship between two people not biologically related as parent and child. An adopted child has all the legal rights to support and sustenance from his new parents, as does a biological child. Now, we understand that this picture of Aaron and Candace that now have been able to adopt little Elijah is a beautiful and a very strong relationship. It's very sincere. In fact, I told you when we were there on Monday, I was just overcome with emotion. Emotion because we love Aaron and Candace and we're so grateful for them and we've wanted them to have a little child to raise and to take care of. They've got a lot of love to give. And there was that emotion, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I was just overcome with the picture. Aaron and Candace are sitting there, and you'll see it a little bit later, and they've got little Elijah holding him. We're all standing in the back, and the picture of this couple that loves that little baby, wants that little baby, wants to adopt that little baby, wants to give it the best life possible, wants to care for it and love it and take care of it the rest of its life. I saw the picture of God's love for you and me. In fact, I was standing there that day and I was looking at everything and watching Aaron and Candace and just kind of taking in this whole emotion, this prayer coming to answer, and now they're getting ready to finalize this, and now Elijah will be theirs and take their name and all of that. And in that moment, I began to think about God's love for me. And in a sense, it was like the Lord said to me, "Son, that's how much I love you. That's how much I wanted to adopt you. I wanted to bring you into my family." And brethren, can I tell you something? That is what God thinks about each and every one of us, that He will go to great expense and great sacrifice to bring you into His family. Brethren, adoption is a miracle. Let's read our passage together tonight, Galatians chapter 4, and we will begin in verse number 4. I will do my best tonight. I know the nature of this evening. I will not be long, and because I want us to get to the video, and then Aaron and Candace will do the special baby dedication for Elijah. Galatians chapter 4, we begin in verse number 4. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ." Don't you love this passage of Scripture? The Bible says that here in verse number 5, to redeem them that were under the law, meaning under the law, the condemnation of the law. None of us can keep the law. By the way, we are lawbreakers, every one of us. And if you could keep the law, then God didn't need to send His Son. But He gave His Son because none of us could fulfill the law. Only Jesus fulfilled the law. But to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Have you ever thought about this just for a moment? God did not have to use the analogy of adoption. He could have simply used the analogy that we are born again into God's family, and He does. But God providentially chose this term and chose this picture of adoption because it's a beautiful term. Tonight, I want to give you three things about the miracle of adoption. Number one, through adoption, we have a new family. Through adoption. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about little Elijah and how that he has now been adopted. Do you know that Elijah has a new family now? He has a new family. In fact, Aaron and Candace told me that the birth certificate that they received was not a birth certificate back to when they adopted him. The birth certificate goes all the way back to when Elijah was born. Do you know that they expunged the original birth certificate? It's gone. It is destroyed. The only birth certificate that Elijah has says that Aaron and Candace are his parents and the very day that he was born. Brother, what a beautiful picture of what God does for us. We are adopted in the family of God. No longer are we under Satan's family. We're not in the family of Satan. Now we are in the family of God. Let me read to you. The adoption process changes the relationship between a child and a birth parent. The adopted person cannot inherit from the biological parents. Is that not interesting? He or she does not have any right to the birth parent's estate or assets. By adopting, the biological family is substituted by the adopted family. Now, I'm reading to you legal terms that is stated here in the United States of America. Do you know that for Elijah, his parents are Aaron and Candace? That's his parents. It's literally been transformed to where no longer is there another family. It's their family. Brethren, that's what God does for us. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when we recognize that Jesus died for us on the cross, that He was buried in the borrowed tomb, and that He rose again the third day, and we place our faith and trust in Jesus, guess what? We are adopted into God's family. No longer do we have the old family. Now we are part of the family of God. In fact, it's simply like this. Number one, there's a person who is not a member of your family by birth. Elijah was not a member of Aaron and Candace by birth. But secondly, there's a legal process. Guess what? That took place. Really, the ceremony took place last Monday. It's been working for a long time to make this process work. And thirdly, now there is a new member of your family as a result. And can I tell you what Jesus Christ did? Jesus Christ was our substitute. We believe in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. God demanded that our sin be paid for. And by the way, only a righteous man, a sinless man, could pay and be the substitutionary death on our behalf. That was Jesus Christ. There was only one person to die for the sins of all mankind. The Bible says that He tasted death for every man. That was Jesus Christ. And brethren, there was a legal transaction that took place on the cross when God the Father turned His back upon God the Son and Jesus bore the sin debt of the world. Can I tell you what happened in that moment? Jesus made a way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to be a part of God's family. Folks, through adoption, we have a new family. I was thinking, and I thought a lot, you know, we've played with Elijah and had so much fun with him. And we've just, I mean, we talk about him all the time. In fact, we have something in our home that someone gave to us for Christmas where it has pictures. And they scroll through pictures like on this little bitty screen. All right. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Do you know that 95% of those pictures are Elijah on there? There he is. I mean, you know, we love our kids and their pictures are on there, but there's Elijah. There's Elijah, you know, and we just enjoy being around him. I cannot wait for the day that I can... I'll probably give him lots of ice cream. I just want Aaron Candace to know that right now, right? But I can't wait to talk to him about his parents and talk to him about how wonderful parents that he has. And he'll know that, but I want him to hear it from me and to say, boy, son, you're so blessed that your mom and dad loved you enough to adopt you. They wanted you. And think of the dynamic of this. He has a new family. Number two, not only through adoption we have a new family, but through adoption we have an inheritance. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8 tonight, and we'll begin in verse number 14. Let me read to you the legality of this. Adoption changes the relationship once and for all, including the right to inherit. The parental rights of the biological parents are severed while a new relationship is formed. The adoption process substitutes the child's birth family with the adoptive parents. Hence, biological and adopted children have equal rights in the eyes of the law. Now, Elijah has an inheritance. My mom and dad have kidded me, and they have told you as well, that a part of their inheritance is I get their cat, all right? Now, I don't think that's funny at all. I really do not, all right? Somebody asked me, well, what's the cat's name? I don't know, and I really don't care, all right? Because I don't, you know, my dad and mom said, son, now, you know, the inheritance, which my dad said, son, it won't be anything really. And I said, I understand. But he said, son, it hinges on you taking care of that cat. I said, well, I'll take care of it. I promise you I will take care of it, all right? It will be taken care of. I'm just kidding, all right? But my mom and dad kid about those things, about the inheritance. I pray my mom and dad live to be a long, long years. I feel like my parents are still young and healthy. Thank the Lord for that. But there will come a day, if the Lord tarries his coming, that God will call my mom and dad home. I don't look forward to that. I do not know what that is like. Many of you have experienced that. And I can only imagine what that is like. And you know, the thought in my mind is, I just want mom and dad, you know. I don't really want anything that they have. But I'm sure there'll come a day that we will have to clean out a house or whatever it may be. Some of you have encountered that. I can only imagine what that is like. But there is an inheritance. You know, with Elijah, he has an inheritance now. He is within the family. He's within Aaron and Candace's family. And there is a special inheritance. Well, brethren, can I tell you something? You're part of God's family. And guess what? We have inherited all that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything we need to live the Christian life is within Jesus Christ. We have all that is God and all that is Christ. You talk about an inheritance. By the way, that's an inheritance that the Bible says will never fade away. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And it is reserved in heaven for you and me. But let's read Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. Notice what the Bible says. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, the Bible talks about that you and I have received the spirit of adoption. You know, the Bible talks about the spirit of adoption. What is that? God has put within you and me the Holy Spirit of God. And it's called the Spirit of Adoption. And can I tell you what the Spirit of Adoption does? It has a cry. Now, you know that every baby has a certain cry that a mother knows that cry. In fact, I've seen moms in our own church. They hear a cry. They're just right behind that wall right there. All right, the little ones. And they can know, that's my child. I've got to go. All right? And my wife could do that. Well, can I tell you, little Elijah already, I think his first word, was it daddy or dada or... No, what was his first word? Mama? It was mama. My analogy is ruined here. You just... So anyway. All right, Candace is very proud of that. All right, so anyway. All right. But anyway, can I just tell you what I've only heard him say is dad. All right, that's all I've heard him say. All right. And we were with him yesterday, and he was just, everything was dad. He looked at the deer on the wall and said dad. You know, I mean, just everything is dad, you know. But can I tell you something? There is something within the heart of that boy. That boy only knows Aaron and Candace. That's it. They took him from the hospital. He cries out, Mama. He cries out, Dad. Why? Because, in a sense, the spirit of adoption. He belongs to them and they belong to him. And brethren, I'll tell you something. There is something within my heart and something within your heart that when we are in a desperate place, can I tell you what cries out? Abba, Father. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, do you know that the King James translators felt that this word Abba was so sacred? All of God's word is sacred, but the King James translators would not translate this word into English. They left it in the form Abba. Because can I tell you what it means? It means daddy. Do you know that the only other person that ever cried out Abba was the Lord Jesus Christ? When his prayer in Gethsemane, when he cried out, Abba, his Father, the desperate cry. Folks, can I tell you something? Through adoption, we have a new family, but through adoption, we have inheritance. Our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. We have all the privileges of being a part of God's family. I had the opportunity this past week to go to a conference and preach, and I just preached one time, but I've gone to the conference for many years, and it was a great honor. And last year, I took my wife and son for the first time to the conference in Falls Baptist Church called the Victory Conference. And but it was just a little funny because as a conference speaker, they had a certain place for us to sit. And a conference speaker, they have a room that you can go into and get coffee and candy and drinks and chips and all of that. Well, my son Joshua thought that was a pretty big thing, you know. He said, man, I'll tell you what, Dad, I like being a speaker son, not just a regular son around here, you know. It's kind of nice. You get privileges, you know. And you get to go in the conference room and get whatever you want. And you get to sit in a certain section and all of that. Well, can I just tell you this, brethren? You are part of God's family. And with being a part of God's family, you have privileges in the family of God. You have an inheritance. Can I simply tell you? Simply, number one, you're a full member of God's family. Number two, you have full rights and full privileges in heaven. Number three, you have immediate access to God. Number four, you belong to His family. Number five, you bear His name. Number six, you have a full share in the inheritance He promises His children. And number seven, Satan has no claim on you because you are no longer a part of his family because God is your Abba Father. Amen. Aren't you thankful tonight through adoption? It's a miracle. And what we have got to observe as a church, we've kind of journeyed with Aaron and Candace through this. And it's been a wonderful journey. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, he is a part of the family and he has the inheritance. Number three, the last thing. And I want to be very clear about this. Adoption is never second best. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Now, I pray that God would use this tonight. I want to give this analogy with Aaron and Candace, but also the analogy of being a part of God's family. Let me read to you the legal term. Adopted children have the same rights as biological children, including being legal heirs. The child is the legitimate child by all means, and as such has the right to receive support, both emotional and financial, from both parents. Furthermore, the law also treats the adopted children and biological children the same at all times. Brethren, can I just simply say to you tonight, I know that Aaron and Candace, their desire, and God still may answer that prayer for them. We'll leave that in the hands of the Lord. But they wanted to bear their own children. But adoption is never second best. It's never second best. In fact, I believe that adoption is something very special, something very sacred, and it is very Christ-like. I commend Aaron and Candace for being willing to go through the time, the labor. I mean, maybe you understand the classes they had to go to, the time they had to give, the in-home inspections they had to go through, documenting everything that Elijah did, every person that he came in contact with. I mean, you talk about an enormous amount of work to bring them to this place. It has been a journey for them. But adoption is never second best. Let's read our text, Ephesians chapter 1, and let's begin in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him," look at this, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself." Now I could read on, but I want you to notice this passage. Look in verse 5. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." Now, don't allow that word to confuse you. Some people want to talk about that God elected certain people to be saved and he predestined certain people to be saved. Brethren, can I put it simply this way? He tasted death for every man. Amen. And that means that any man, woman, boy, or girl has every opportunity to come to Jesus Christ as anybody else does. God did not elect some to be saved and some to go to hell. He has chosen all of us in him before the foundation of the world. But let me be clear about this. Adoption in God's mind, that he adopted us, was never God's plan B. Now hear me out. He predestinated us for adoption before the creation of the world. That's what that verse says. And what it means is plan A was not lots of children who never sin and never need to be redeemed. Can I tell you what God's plan A was? It was creation, it was fall, it was redemption, and it was adoption as God planned it before the foundation of the world. In fact, if we know that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain, what does the Bible say, before the foundation of the world. Listen, brethren, God knew that his world, his creature, would rebel against him, but he made him instead. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin in the garden, and God predetermined that Jesus Christ would be the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So here's what I'm saying. It's not some second rate to be adopted into God's family. It was not plan B. It was God's plan all along. And brethren, here's what I believe. I believe that God knew before the foundation of the world that God would allow a little boy to be born named Elijah. And God had predetermined that Aaron and Candace would get to adopt this little baby. Brethren, I believe that God has wonderful plans for this little boy. There is no telling what God wants to do with this little boy's life. You know what we ought to do as a church? We ought to pray that this little boy will come to know Jesus Christ at an early age, and that he will live his whole life for Jesus Christ, helping people being adopted into God's family. Brethren, adoption never just happens. There is no such thing as an accidental adoption. Aaron and Candace didn't just accidentally. No, they planned for this. And brethren, God didn't just accidentally adopt you. He planned for you. Now, we must make that choice to accept him. But Jesus Christ Oh, listen, He came to this earth and He bled and died on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Why? So that He could adopt us into God's family. Folks, on earth, adoption gives a child a new name, a new home, a new address, a new history, and a new destiny. The same is true with God's adoption. He gives us a new name, a new home, a new address, a new history, and a new destiny. One man put it this way, Robert Frost defined home as the place where, when you go there, they have to take you in. Well, you know what? Can I tell you? God is our true Heavenly Father because He chose to add us to His family. And because of adoption, we go to Him. He always opens the door and says, "Welcome, my child. This is your home forever." Brethren, I'm thankful for the miracle that we've got to observe as a church of this physical adoption, this earthly adoption. But I'm also thankful for the miracle of God's adoption. Can I say this to you? I do not deserve to be a part of God's family. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that God adopted me. I'm not worthy of that. Oh, listen, but I'm thankful that God gave His only begotten Son. And I'm thankful that God gave His Son for me and He gave His Son for you. And can I tell you, He wanted to adopt me. I'm glad that at the age of 17, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, recognizing that I need a Savior in order to spend eternity in heaven. And brethren, I'm thankful for the miracle of adoption. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank You tonight for this special service. It's a blessing to rejoice with Aaron and Candace, but it's a blessing also to rejoice in what You have done in our hearts. And Lord, thank You for the adoption that we can enjoy through You. I pray tonight that we would just leave this building rejoicing and that we can cry, "Abba, Father." Lord, we love You tonight. I pray that You will help us to, Lord, be so grateful about our adoption in Christ, but that we would know and understand that You died for everyone and that we want them to be a part of this family. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals. And would you stand with me, please, tonight? And let's go to hymn number 546. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's stand together. And brethren, tonight, maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you'd like to just come and thank the Lord for adopting you. Maybe you'd like to come tonight and commit that you're going to work to tell others of Christ so that they can be adopted into God's family. Let's sing it tonight. Hymn number 546. We'll sing it together.